Joshua chapter 21, but I concentrate on verses 43 to 45. The rest of the chapter deals with the settlement of the Levites. Important at that time, but I have nothing, I think, to say upon it. But these verses here, 43 to 45, are very precious. I believe they have a message, and I mean that word, a word from God for every one of us, believer and unbeliever. Let me read the words to you. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn to give to their forefathers, and they took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side, just as he had sworn to their forefathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. The first thing I'd like to point out here is this. The part that God plays in this, the sovereign God. I read four times here, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, the Lord, God Almighty, the sovereign God. I'm going to speak of his faithfulness, of his grace, of his promises, his performance of his promises, his faithfulness to his people. No failure, no enemies. I'm going to speak of all that the Lord did. Well, just speak briefly of it. But the first point I want to make is this. It is the Lord I'm speaking of. And it's the Lord we have to deal with. Now, believer, you know this. Everything is in God's sovereign disposal. Everything is at God's decree and purpose. And you are glad that it's so. Unbeliever, I warn you, I know you think you are the master. I know you think you're in control, or it's blind fate or something. Sarah, Sarah, whatever will be, and it's fate. And not at all. The sovereign Lord you have to deal with. You were born in God's sovereign decree at his time. Your days are allotted, I assure you. Your times are in his hand. Death is on the road. You have to face him in judgment. God, you have to deal with. You may push him away. You may ignore him. But God is the one you have to deal with. The Lord. That's the first point I would make here. His sovereignty. His faithfulness. He makes promises to his people. And he keeps his promises. Let me speak next of the grace of God here. For the Lord gave Israel. Verse 44, the Lord gave them rest. Believer, you know this, don't you? It all depends upon the sovereign gift and grace of God. You know that everything you have, all the blessings you hope for, are sovereignly disposed to you out of God's free and wondrous grace. Unbeliever, I wish that you knew it. I wish you heard the words of Christ and let them sink into your soul. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him, that whosoever includes you, if you will trust Christ, you will learn this. For whosoever believeth on him, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Israel had settlement in the land. God in the new covenant, in the gospel, promises to all who trust his Son everlasting life. The Lord, in his sovereign grace, gives salvation to those who trust his Son. And it's sovereign grace from beginning to end, free grace, the Lord gave. Notice this, the emphasis upon all, every, not one failed, not one failed. Everyone came to pass, everyone was fulfilled. There's a lot of tautology here, so a modern editor would say. Not at all. The emphasis here is upon God's sovereignty, upon his grace, and upon the allness, the everyness, but not one failingness. I say it deliberately in that sort of poor English to drive home the point. So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn. They took possession of it and settled there. The Lord gave them rest on every side. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The land, the Lord handed all their enemies over to them. Not one of all the Lord's good promises failed. Everyone was fulfilled. Believer, you know, 2 Peter 1:4, the Lord has given us exceeding great and precious promises. He's told us that the blood of his Son washes us from all sin. He's told us he'll never leave us or forsake us. He's told us that Christ is ever praying for us. Christ will come again for us. He promises that he will raise us from the dead, that he will present us faultless before his presence. He's promised us joy everlasting, bliss unspeakable. On and on he has made these promises. There is not one here that failed. There is not one here, but that came to pass. Everyone was fulfilled. Indeed, it's just as he had sworn. It was as he had promised. This is a tremendous emphasis in this passage. There may be many difficulties in the way of these promises, just like there are many difficulties in the way of Israel settling. But the Lord kept his word. And that is the point here. The Lord had sworn, but the Lord gave. The Lord had sworn, and the Lord gave, I should say. He promised their forefathers, and they took it as he had promised. It reminds me of Romans 9:11. God had made promises to Abraham, and he keeps them. Did he promise that in Abraham he would have a seed that would bless the world? In the fullness of time, Christ came into the world. Are we not believers? Are we not the seed of Abraham now? Is he not saving sinners, Jews and Gentiles, according to his promises to the forefathers? Everything coming to pass in God's sovereign decree, God's gracious decree, and the Lord giving them rest on every side. This, of course, was rest in the land, but think of the eternal bliss that is ours to come. But even now we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Even now we are sure and confident in our boldness to come before God, because we know he receives us in Jesus. The Lord gave them. Unbeliever, learn this. God's promises will come to pass, and his warnings are true. It is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Unless you repent, you will perish. So says God. He's appointed a day in which he will judge the world, and he's given assurance of it, and he's raised Christ from the dead. And that's the judge who will come to judge you and to judge me. I like the word so, too, that opens this passage. So the Lord. Let's sum it up, he says. Let's complete the passage. Let's complete this history. And what is this history? So the Lord gave Israel all the land he had sworn. And it was as he gave it. It was as he promised it. It was as he was determined that they should have it. It all came to pass. The word fulfillment is here. Fulfilled. And that's a glorious new covenant word. Christ fulfilled the old covenant. And all the promises of God are fulfilled in him. They are yes and amen in him. And all will come to pass. That's what I see in these few verses. Just three verses. But what powerful testimony they are. God, sovereign, faithful, the promise-giving, promise-making God, the promise-keeping God, the performing God, the Lord, he gave, and all his promises, every one of them came to pass, not one failed. It was all just as he had said, and Israel had rest and peace, and all is fulfilled according to God's word. And how much greater in the new covenant. The warnings are severe, yes, but the promises of grace and mercy, oh, unbeliever, listen to them and act upon them. Trust in the Lord now and be saved. Believer, May we go on our way today. Let us go on our way today. Resting in the sovereignty, the grace, the faithfulness, the promise making, the promise keeping, the promise performing God. We know it will all be one day, just as he promised. Every one of his promises will be fulfilled. For God is the safe, is the sovereign, faithful, promise-making, promise-keeping God. Believer, whatever your circumstances, whatever your doubts and fears, whatever your trials, setbacks, even your sins, be assured of this, the Lord, I, the Lord, change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is faithful, and his word will come to pass. God, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit abide faithful to their word, full of grace. They promise, and they will perform. All will come to pass, just as he said.